like our Lord, is there? Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, at least it's not as bad as it was last Wednesday night. Yes, sir. Last Wednesday night we was having to pray the tornadoes away. I think what y'all didn't know is because, you know, I couldn't leave Miss Lynette at home because she can't get around, you know, with that busted ankle and our fractured ankle. And we were listening. Our sirens were going off all over the place. They went off for oh, how long around there at our house. And I had her in this little, in the middle of the house in this little place. And we were we had the iPad on and was watching it. And the guy said, I'm in the parking lot at Rhema, and there's a tornado at 161st and Kenosha right over here. So that's what the guy said. I don't know. I wasn't here to see, but he said there was one up in the clouds over here. And so we were praying for you guys, and 400 of you showed up anyway. praise God. Well, I got something that's a little different tonight. You know, on Wednesday night, I tried to talk to you just about things that will help us with life. And if you want to give this thing a title, and I don't know whether this is a message, talk, or motivational speech, whatever it is. You know, that's just me. You know me. Yes, sir. Are you an encourager or an encouragement, a guy that encourages? Or are you a complainer? Acts chapter 4, NIV. Acts chapter 4, NIV, verse 32. We'll start reading that. I'm going to read from the NIV. I think it's NIV. Maybe I got it wrong because they got it up there. And 33. Start with 33. Okay. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was on them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had a need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles call Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a Philion, brought the money, and put it at the apostles' feet. And that's where he was such an encourager, they, instead of calling him by his name, they called him son of encouragement. Do you realize the world is full of complainers and pessimistic people? Yes, sir. In fact, sometimes I wonder if there's not more pessimists around than there are people that are positive. Yes, sir. Little story. Entering a department store, a little old lady was startled when a band began to play and a dignified executive stepped up and pinned an orchid on her dress and handed her $100 bill. She was the store's millionth customer. And the television cameras was there and all the reporters. And so they stuck a microphone in her in front of her face and said, "Tell me, just what did you come in here for today?" Well, she hesitated and finally she answered, "Well, I'm on my way to the complaint department." I think if I was her, I'd have found a better answer to that. You know, but there are some people that are always on their way to the complaint department. In spite of all the good things that's happening in their lives, they're always complaining about something. You know, every place has its complainers and fault finders. How many of you have had people like that around? I mean, if you've played on a sports team, you've had some of them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, some guys, I think if they broke every record in the book, they would still complain about something. But now, of course, we don't have any in this church. You know, well, all of you know I was in the Army, and so one guy, he needed some extra money, and so he let it be known that he was going to be out in the parking lot, and he was going to wash cars and detail cars and try to make him some extra money. And he told, you know, he went through all the barracks and told all the guys this and the whole company. And so there he was on Friday afternoon, Friday night, and all day Saturday he was out there. And he made a pretty good amount of money. But there's this one guy, and he needed his car cleaned. But this guy complained about everything. I mean, there wasn't nothing that ever pleased him. He could get an accommodation, and he complained about it because they didn't pin it on his uniform right. You know. So he had him do his car. Well, he went out there to look at his car, and he started complaining about it. And the guy said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, it's too shiny. You did too good of a job. It's too clean." I mean, there's some people you can't please. I don't care what you do. You know, and it's human nature to avoid as many of these kind of people as possible. You know, I read somewhere, whenever you're tempted to tell your troubles to other people, remember half of the listeners aren't interested, and the other half are glad you're finally getting what's coming to you. I read this one time. I don't know whether it's true or not. Somebody just said it, and it says that one time Martin Luther was so depressed over a prolonged period that one day his wife came downstairs wearing all black. And Martin Luther said, "Who died?" She said, "God has." He said, "God hasn't died." And she said, "Well, live like it and act like it then." You know, there's some people, they don't have any confidence in their self or their ability to succeed, you know, and they even say, "I'm a born loser." In April 1962, anybody remember April 1962? Let's see if I got anybody remembers April 1962 besides me. There's one back there. Here's one over here. I know my wife does. Anybody else over here remember April 1962? Oh, there you go. Any of you remember a recording artist by the name of Ray Charles? In April of 1962, he recorded a smash hit. It was called "Born to Lose." How many of you ever heard that one? It was a number one song for him. Norma Vincent Peale relates this story. Once when he was walking through the twisted little streets of Kowloon, Hong Kong, he said, "I came across a tattoo studio. In the window were displays of the samples of tattoos. And you know, there was anchors and flags and mermaids and whatever. But what struck me with force was three words that could be tattooed on one's flesh: born to lose. I entered the shop in astonishment and pointed to those words and asked the Chinese tattoo artist, 'Does anyone really have that terrible phrase, born to lose, tattooed on their body?' He replied, 'Yes, sometimes.' But I said, 'I just can't believe anyone in his right mind would do that.' The Chinese tattoo artist simply tapped his forehead and said in broken English, 'Before tattoo on body, tattoo on mind.'" That is a very true statement. Yes, I've been told this by my father and then by coaches. But first of all, my father told me, he said, "You got to believe you can before you can." Yes, you got to believe you can do something before you can do it. You got to believe in yourself. Somebody said, "Oh, I don't want to be conceited." Hey, the Lord believed in you. He called you, didn't he? He believed in you. He called all of us to be witnesses. So he believes in us, so believe in yourself. But there are too many people who have a defeatist attitude, got the loser mentality. And some people are always battling against discouragement and depression and unnecessary anxiety. But you know, I'm here to tell you tonight that when you're born again, you are not born for defeat. You were not born for despair. You were not born for disappointment. You were not born to lose. Amen. You were not born to live in fear. I'm talking about being born again. Amen. You were born to live in freedom and to be an encouragement to everybody around you. Amen. You see, you weren't just born of the Spirit for your own self, which is part of it. But the Holy Spirit has designed it that you will possess the qualities of faith in God and confidence in yourself as God sees you. And then you would exist to encourage somebody else. See, we got to see it ourselves the way God says. You ever read the Bible? Actually, different ones, but the Apostle Paul wrote it a lot of times. He said that we're more than conquerors. He said that all of our needs were met. He said that we always triumphed in Christ Jesus. He's trying to show us that we are somebody. You know, a lot of people feel like they're nobodies, but we are somebody. We're a child of God. We are a child of God, born again. And if we're God's child, then we're somebody. Amen. In fact, the Bible says we're seated with God in heavenly places. The Bible says we are supposed to be an encourager and not a complainer. Amen. The Bible says that we should be reaching down to help people and lift them up, rather than putting condemnation on them. Now, I'm not saying that just because somebody messes up, some people say, well, bless God, you know, if they just do this and do that, they'd be all right. Well, yeah, that's so, but why, most of the time they already know they messed up anyway. Why heap more condemnation on them? Why not reach down and say, hey, man, come on, you can make it. God is a forgiver. God is a God of second chances. Let me understand what I'm talking about. Come on now. See, Proverbs 17:17. I'm going to read it from New King James, and then I'm going to read it from the NLT. Proverbs 17:17. I'll give you a chance to turn there. See, I got it already cut and pasted here, so sometimes I go too fast, so I have to slow down. I look on the front rows here. If I see them find it, then I go, all right. Proverbs 17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. I sort of like the way the NLT says it. A friend is always loyal, but a brother is born to help in time of need. How many of you have had true friends outside of your family, and even outside the family of God, show tremendous loyalty when you are facing tough situations? See, we've all had those times when friends were there at hard times, when we were facing problems that were overwhelming us. But as children of God, we should be there for our brothers and our sisters. See, as we sit here tonight, we're not just friends. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, held together by the common denominator of being washed white as snow because Jesus shed his blood on Calvary. You know, And there in 17:17, it says we were born into the kingdom in order to help each other in a time of need. See, Barnabas was such an, or Joseph was such an encourager, they called him Barnabas instead of calling him by Joseph. Because that name described who he was, son encouragement. You know, we have a guy around here that is, could be called the son of encouragement. His name is Harold.
Yes, sir.
How many of you know who I'm talking about? You can't walk through the door if he's back there as an usher without him saying, I appreciate you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It don't matter who you are. He's always got a smile on his face and said, I appreciate you. Appreciate you. You know, we could call him a son of encouragement, the son of encouragement. But you know, we all need to be called encouragers. Now, I didn't say that we didn't mess up sometimes and complain, but let's get out of that habit if we can. Now, there's five qualities that I want to talk about that an encourager has. Five qualities that an encourager has. First of all, an encourager is giving. You see, remember they said Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and put it at the apostles' feet. But you know, there are those that have the attitude, every man for himself. You know, as a kid, we played games and every man for himself. Anybody ever played the game? Somebody holler that. You mean it's whoever can get to the top of the hill any way you can. You kick everybody else down and knock. Anybody ever played that King of the Hill and every man for himself? Guess what? I was pretty good at it because I don't like to lose. But there's some people in the world, that's their memory, and they won't even give somebody a penny. Bless God, I got mine the hard way. You can get yours that way. Well, I don't think that's the attitude of an encourager. I don't even think that's the attitude of a child of God.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's a moocher. See, now we have some of those around, you know. I was associate pastor out in West Texas, what, in the early days, what, 66, I guess it was. And our church right on highway. And I had been acquainted with this because when I was a kid growing up, Daddy pastor was on the highway out at the edge of town because that's where all the Pentecostal churches were, out at the edge of town, you know. And so we would have people in the parsonage right next door, and we'd have people all the time knocking on the door and so forth and so on. I remember I was about four, and on a Sunday night, it's cold. We was down at Farmersville, Texas. Dad was pastor in Farmersville. And, man, somebody come knocking on the door and said, Brother Hagin, I think the church is on fire. Because one of their kids had got up to go to the bathroom or something and looked out the window and saw, and it looked like the whole inside the church on fire. But we called it colo, but it's kerosene. Y'all understand kerosene. How many of you understand the word colo? Oh, I got some people here who know what I'm talking about. Anyway, and once if you turn those things off and you try to relight it when it's hot, it's a bad news. How many know why I ever tried to? And what had happened, one of them had broke into the church because it's cold, and he was trying to get in out of the cold, and he tried to relight that stove, and that thing, it had exploded. And so Dad ran over there, and of course, the front door of the church was standing wide open. I guess it scared him. He took off running, whoever it was. You know, but... You know, that that's the way that some people, how did I get off on that? I was going to make a point, and I just lost it right here. Huh? Oh, moochers, that's how I got off on it. That's how I got off. And so, you know, and I was talking about giving. And, you know, I was associate pastor at that church, and this guy stopped, and he said, oh, my mama died, and I need gas. I got my family in the car. Look, and they were, there's some people in the car, kids and wife, I guess. I don't know who they were. He said, I need about $20 to buy some gas. And I said, well, hey, listen, one of our board members, and we had it set up that way, see that SO service station right down the road there? Yeah, I see it. I said, if you go down there and tell him that Kenneth Hagin from at the church sent you down there, he'll fill it up free for you. And man, the guy started cussing me and said, oh, I don't know. I want money. I don't want it. I said, well, you didn't want gas in the first place, did you? So get out of here. I'm going, if he wanted gas, I'm going to give him a whole tank. And we had the same thing with the guy wanting groceries one time, or more than once. And one of our board members owned a grocery store right down the street. And he said, anybody that needs groceries for their family, if they'll come down there, I'll give them a bill of groceries. Do you know what? Out of about 20 people that stopped and said they wanted groceries, there was only one man that went down there and got them. The other 19... they call me all everything but what they should call you, because I wouldn't give them money. That's the way some people are. They're stingy. They want everything for themselves, and they want it their way. But a giving person has a sweet aroma of sacrifice that's pleasing to God. And they're promised, those people are promised divine provision. Amen. A greedy person, a person that's unbenevolent, will never understand this. So a person that's an encourager is a giver. Philippians 4:17-20. I'm going to read it from the King James and then the NLT. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. I indeed have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, the NLT reads it like this. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. See, Paul's talking about when you give, you will receive a reward for your kindness when you're benevolent. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with gifts you sent me from Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, we quote that scripture all the time, God supply all your needs. But I want you to notice the context in which Paul wrote that scripture. He wrote that scripture in context, not to somebody giving in an offering. Although we use it and it can be used there, he wrote that in context in them sending Epaphroditus with things that he needed for his sustenance to keep him going. You know, that's an interesting fact. We might need to think about that a little bit. Now, an encouraging person is an integrating person. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem to try to meet the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas, brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. And encouraged her. See, nobody wanted anything to do with Paul because they knew he was the one that held the coats while they stoned Stephen. They knew he was killing the Christians. But now here, Barnabas said, hey, wait a minute, boys. Look, we need to integrate him in. He's okay. You know, an encourager is one that when you're in a social event and you see somebody sitting alone, you go over and introduce yourself and you get them involved with everybody else. An encourager is one that speaks up for somebody when others are skeptical. That's what Barnabas did for Paul here. He spoke up for Paul when the rest of them were skeptical about, hey, wait a minute, we heard about this guy. Hello. Y'all quiet tonight. Now, an encourager is always interested in progress and progression. You know, if you go to that 11th chapter of Acts, and you start reading in the first part of it, you will find out that that's right after Peter had gone down in Acts 10. He went down to Cornelius' house and had preached unto them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And now he comes back, and he had returned from preaching there. And, you know, some of the Jewish disciples some of them there in Jerusalem wanted to reprimand him for going and preaching to them and eating with the Gentiles. But after Peter told them how it all happened, and it was God, and then they sent a man to check it out. Guess who they sent to check it out? The encourager, Barnabas, to check it out. You know, so then they accepted it, you know. And someone said this, small-minded people who are ruled by their fears and inadequacies fear progress. Encouraging people don't fear progress. They're in favor of progress. You know, we can't be afraid of progress. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Hello? And then an encouraging person is an envisioning person. Without vision, the people perish, the Bible said. The son of encouragement never lost his vision. He encourages and pushes others forward. He's encouraging everybody to take a step. Go ahead. Go on. You can do it. You can make it. You can do it. That's what an encouraging person does. A pessimistic person said, well, hey, I don't know if I was do that if I was you. I wouldn't open that business if I was you. Man, you're going to lose your shirt. Blah, 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 blah. Well, now there is such thing as giving good advice. Now, if a person needs some good advice and it's a bad investment, that's one thing. But it's another thing if a person is they're embarking upon something, it's to encourage them. Hello, how many understand what I'm talking to you about?
Yes, sir.
I got 10 people out of this whole audience that understands what I'm saying. I hope the rest of you get it sometime. Number five, an encouraging person is a trusting person. A trusting person. Remember, Paul didn't want John Mark to go with them and accompany them on their second missionary journey because he didn't feel like he could trust John Mark, or Mark as he was called, because he had failed. And of course, Silas wanted him or Barnabas wanted him to go with them. But Paul said, no, 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 no. So he took Silas and took off, and Barnabas took John Mark, and they took off. Now, in later times, Paul had Mark come to him because he needed that. But this caused division between Barnabas and Paul. Actually, Peter and Paul, they had their disagreements. See, if you're not careful, I don't care how religious you are, you have to be careful or you will get in disagreements with people. So, but here at Rhema Bible, here at this church, just look around for a minute. Just look around. Look across the aisle. Look around. We're all different. We're all diverse. We all carrying a lot of different opinions. We all look at some things and we have different perspectives on it. But there's one thing that can't be denied. As the song says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. That's all of us. Because of that, we're blood kin. Brothers and sisters in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Born to encourage one another. Born to be a person of encouragement. You know, we may look across the aisle, or we may look around and say, I don't have anything in common with them. But yes, you do. You're all children of God.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't hurt to pat somebody on the shoulder sometime and just say, hey, you can make it. Be a good cheer. You may not realize it, but that may be the thing they need to put them over.
Yes,
you never know when you shake somebody's hand and you say, like Harold does, appreciate you. You never know that that may be what that person needed to know that somebody cared for them.
Yes, sir.
Come on now, let's get it where it is. I mean, this is a subject that's down to earth. I mean, I'm getting down home with you on this stuff. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Let me understand what I'm saying. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? After I put this sermon together, I had to begin to check up on myself. Come on now. After you listen to me minister it to you, you may have to get out the checklist yourself and start. So wait a minute. Isaiah 41, 6 and 7 in the King James says this. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, and him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he that fasted with nails, that it should not be moved. You see, we need to be able to help people. I mean, our disaster team did that last year, and they just went out over here to Sand Springs and helped a little bit over there, as much as they were allowed to, I think. And you know, we need to be an encourager.
Amen.
Not a complainer. Like I said a while ago, you never know when you shake somebody's hand. You pat them on the shoulder and say, you can make it. You never know what that may mean to that individual.
Right.
When you just give somebody a good firm handshake or a good brotherly hug, you may never know what that means to that person at that particular moment. Because you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what's in their mind, in their hearts. You don't know who has wounded them with words. You know, you can hurt people worse with words than you can with your fist.
Yes,
and when you give a person a word of encouragement, it can heal a wound.
Yes,
it can seal up a hurt. And so tonight, I don't know whether it's a message or what it is, but I want us all here at Rhema Bible Church, I want us to be encouragers.
Yes, sir.
And not complainers.
Amen.
Now, everything may not go your way and everything may not go my way, but let's don't complain about it. Let's just encourage and go on, okay?
Yes,
every program may not be the program you want, but if it's helping people, then we just go on with it. We say, okay, praise the Lord, let's go. You know, there may be some people that don't see why we need to build this youth building and activity center back there. Well, praise God, don't complain about it. Just go with us that believe that that's what God needs us to do right now.
Yes,
hello, how many understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
In a church, things change. Don't complain. Encourage. Because if you will, you'll find that I'll be there to meet your need whenever somebody is complaining about you. Because I am your Lord and I am your God. And I will lead you and I will guide you. If you will walk in my word and walk in what I say and walk with what I do, then you'll find that victory will be so sublime and you'll enjoy life every step of the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's just something the Lord give me right there. Sometimes people come up to me and say, hey, can you re-say that? I got point. Hey, get the CD because I can't re-say it because it just comes as the Lord gives it. How many know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. Tonight, if you happen to be here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want to encourage you to come down here and know Jesus. If you happen to be one that knows what it is to know Christ, but you just know that you're not where you should be with the Lord right now, you need to come rededicate yourself. Or maybe you're one of those that says, hey, I go to church, but I don't know whether I've ever accepted Jesus or not. Well, tonight you can. The ladies over here, the men here, as we're dismissed, if you'll come down here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason, you can come to the front and they'll pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these that are here tonight. I pray that you'll touch every heart and every life. I pray that people will have made adjustments in their lives tonight. I thank you for those that will be coming forward for prayer, that they will receive every need met in their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Connection team, see if you can find our first time guest. And hey, guest, I realize that this may be a little inconvenient, but we want to give you a really nice gift. And so if you would just go with those connection team right out here to the lobby, and they'll be glad to serve you. Thank you for being with them. If you're looking for a church home, what we say, church? Welcome home. Just come and join us. We're just a happy family. Just a happy family living life unlimited with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, don't forget all the announcements. Read them. They're there for your benefit. Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock is School of the Bible. Come and receive, okay? Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to be an encourager, not a complainer. If you need prayer for anything, come to the front right now. God bless. We'll see you Sunday morning right here.